Previously on Adventures on Ah Wei Island, after finding out her family was moving away at the end of summer, Marie feared losing her best friends and the possibility that she would never finish the quest. Reassurance from JJ and Christian and a newly discovered clue revived her hopes.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Welcome to Adventures on Ah Wei Island.
Chapter 10, An Uncertain Future, Part 2. Marie woke up feeling a little more optimistic about the future than she had the previous mornings. Even though she was still very disappointed about moving at the end of summer, the visit from JJ and Christian and the reassurance that their friendship was still as tight as ever made her feel better. She slipped out of bed and retrieved her detective's journal from her desk drawer. Carrying it with her, she headed to the kitchen for breakfast. Over a bowl of cereal, she added notes and dates, making sure she hadn't forgotten anything. What intrigued her most at the moment was Madame Amato's note, telling them to go see Xander once they'd found the place with the blue tile. Xander. Marie was curious about him. At first, she hadn't realized Xander was involved with their quest. But now, she wondered how much he knew and what he might share with them once they could tell him they'd found the blue tile at the Civic Building. That would remain an unknown until Xander came back. If he came back, Marie reminded herself. What if he didn't? Marie's mom came into the kitchen, interrupting Marie's train of thought. You're up early, Mrs. Duguay said, a hint of surprise in her voice. Would you like to go run errands with me? I have to make a stop at the art supply store, she added with a smile. The art supply store was a place Marie could get lost in forever. There were so many interesting projects and crafting possibilities. How long will we be gone? Marie asked, remembering that she'd planned to meet JJ and Christian at the library in the afternoon. Most of the morning, Mrs. Duguay said. When we're done, we could have lunch together, and then I could drop you off at the library, she suggested. Marie felt a little hesitant. Although she really enjoyed spending time with her mom, she was also worried the conversation might turn toward the subject of the move at some point. And this was a topic Marie didn't want to think about right now. After a big sigh, Marie answered, "Okay, that sounds like fun, but I don't want to talk about moving." "Deal," her mom replied. "We'll leave in 10 minutes. Marie nodded and quickly finished her cereal. Then she went back into her bedroom and grabbed her backpack. She tucked the letter from Madame Amato into her detective's journal, which then she placed in the backpack along with a pen. Before long, Marie and her mom were in the car, turning out of their neighborhood. As they drove down the main street, they passed the ice cream shop, and Marie immediately noticed that the note she'd seen taped to the door was missing. "Mom, Marie practically shouted. The note on the ice cream shop door is gone. Amato's is open again. Wonderful, Mrs. Duguay replied. By now, they had passed the library and were headed further into town. Can we go back? Marie asked urgently. The shop might be open again, but it's still before business hours, Mrs. Duguay noted. I know, but someone has to be inside. Maybe Madame Amato and Xander are back, Marie said. Sweetheart, we can stop by there a little later when they're open. I really need to get these errands done first. By the tone of her mom's voice, Marie knew there was no room for arguing. She sighed as loudly as she could, but did not ask again. They made stops at the local flower shop and the hardware store. Marie trailed after her mom without really looking at anything. She just wanted to get back to the ice cream shop as quickly as possible. Even their stop at the art supply store did not interest Marie. She waited at the doorway for her mom to make a purchase. Marie kept glancing at her watch. The ice cream shop should be open now, Marie thought to herself. Open, that is, if someone was inside. When they left the art supply store, Marie begged her mom, "Can we go to the ice cream shop now? Please?" "All right," her mom agreed, unlocking the car. By the time they were on the road heading toward Amato's, Marie's pulse pounded in her ears. Someone had to be back. They just had to. However, as soon as her mom pulled into the parking lot and stopped the car, Marie knew something was wrong. There were no cars. Usually, the shop would have customers by now. She jumped out and raced up to the colorful mushroom-shaped building, trying to open the door, but it was locked. "No," she whispered in disappointment. Then she went to the window and peered inside. Everything was dark. She kicked the ground in frustration. She had been so helpful. Who had taken the note from the door? And if the shop was still to remain closed, why did they remove it? Marie walked around the building slowly, remembering there was a back door from the time they had been in the back room to make the custom ice cream flavor. She'd never been behind the building before, and it felt a little strange to be poking around now. She didn't know if she was actually allowed to be back here. A good detective leaves no stone unturned, she told herself. As she approached the back door, she noticed there was a decorative rock garden on either side. Fine, snow-white gravel covered the ground, with larger rocks scattered about on top. The larger rocks had been painted with an array of colors, and each had a symbol painted on it as well. One rock, colored a night sky blue, caught her eye immediately. On it, in sparkly white gold paint, was the symbol. The clover butterfly symbol they found on everything connected to their quest. Marie sucked in her breath, crouched down, and picked up the rock. Under it, almost buried in the white gravel, was a very old-looking key. Marie transferred the rock to her non-dominant hand as she furtively looked around. Nobody was watching. The key wasn't hers. She probably shouldn't touch it. She should just put the rock back. But what if someone left the key here for her to find? She could borrow the key, just in case, and always put it back later, she reasoned. She quickly picked up the key and tried it in the back door lock, but found it was too small to be a key to a door. Marie, a voice called out. Marie startled. It was her mom. What are you doing back here? Mrs. Duguay asked. Marie closed her fingers around the key and dropped her arm down to her side, still holding the rock in her other hand. I was just looking to see if there were any signs that Madame Amato was back. Or Xander, she said. And then I found this rock. Marie held the blue rock out for her mom to see. It's the same symbol we've found in other places on Awe Island, she added. Well, you'd better put it back, her mom said. It looks like someone went to a lot of work making this pretty rock garden, and you shouldn't disturb it. It doesn't seem like anybody is back yet, so let's go get some lunch before I drop you off at the library. Marie nodded and immediately put the rock back where she'd found it, keeping the key locked in her fist at her side. Then she followed her mom to the front of the building, back to the car. Stealthily, she slipped the key into the pocket of her jeans. Excitement surged through Marie's veins, but just as quickly, it flip-flopped into doubt as her mom drove them to the cafe for lunch. What if the key held the next clue? But how would they figure out what it would unlock? Or what if it had nothing to do with their quest? Marie fidgeted in her seat. She was so anxious to share the information with JJ and Christian and get their perspective. As she sat with her mom, the conversation distracted her only briefly before her thoughts returned to the key. Luckily, the extra stop had shortened their time to eat. So soon, it was time to head to the library. When her mom dropped her off, Marie said, I can walk home. Okay, her mom agreed. Please be home by 4, at the latest. Marie nodded, thanked her mom for lunch and the ride, and then hopped out of the car and hurried into the library, a few minutes late. JJ and Christian were waiting for her in the lobby. They'd already signed out their favorite collaboration room, and the trio headed there immediately. Once inside, JJ updated Marie. We already asked if the Chosen Three had been restored, but Sal said they didn't have a status on it yet. And the History of Awe Island book is still missing too. Marie nodded, eyes twinkling with anticipation. She allowed for a dramatic pause, and her friends appropriately noticed. What's up? Christian asked immediately. You know something, JJ added, raising an eyebrow at her friend. Marie unzipped her backpack, took out her detective's journal, and retrieved the letter tucked inside. She set it on the table dramatically, knowing JJ and Christian would recognize the yellowed envelope, because it looked like the one they had received from Madame Amato. Christian snatched the envelope from the table and immediately opened it. You got one too, he said. Then he read the letter out loud. Dear Marie, you have great courage and a giving heart. I am proud to know you. Once you find the historical place that has blue tile, please go see Xander, Madame Amato. How do we see Xander when he's not here? JJ asked in an exasperated tone. That's what I wondered, but I'm hoping that means he will come back, Marie said. Nah, Christian said in his most skeptical tone. She wrote it before Xander left. How could reading the letter now predict when Xander will come back? If he comes back, JJ added. Marie couldn't argue either point, so instead, she decided to change the direction of the conversation. She reached into her pocket and tossed the small key onto the table next to the letter. Where did you get that? JJ blurted out. Marie quickly explained the events of the morning to her friends. I tried it in the back door of the ice cream shop, but it's too small to be a key to a door, she finished. Do you really think it's connected to our quest? It looks really old, Christian said. I don't know, Marie admitted. But if we're good detectives, we need to follow every lead. She desperately hoped the key was connected to the quest. "Let's ask Sal," JJ suggested. "Maybe they will recognize it." "Agreed," Marie said. "That's as good a place as any to start." The trio headed to the information desk and waited their turn in queue. Sal greeted them with a smile. "Hello, you three. What can I do for you today?" Marie held out the key in the palm of her hand. "Sal, do you know what this will unlock?" Sal looked down at the key, expression transforming from one of smiles into a deep frown. "That's not yours. Where did you get that?" The librarian's voice was sharper than usual, almost angry. It was so unexpected, Marie's fingers closed around the key, and she shoved her hand into her pocket. I, she stammered. Sal cut her off. "Wait right here. I'll be right back," Sal said, and without explanation, disappeared into the stacks. Marie, JJ, and Christian exchanged worried looks. Sal seemed to know what the key was for, and that it had been taken without permission. Marie swallowed hard. She couldn't think of any reasonable excuse as to why she had the key. She didn't want to get JJ or Christian in trouble, so she would simply have to admit that she took it. What would happen to her? She glanced up. Sal was marching toward them with another person who looked very upset. Marie knew one thing for certain. She was in big trouble. What will happen to Marie now that Sal knows she took the key without permission? Find out when the adventure continues in our next episode of Adventures on Ah Wei Island.
Thanks for listening to Adventures on Ah Wei Island. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss an episode.